Australian Bible Church, December the 22nd. The 22nd, just 3 days before Christmas. And the topic, the babe. Talk of this babe is far from baby talk. The babe, strenuously presented as a massive news report by the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before the babe arrived. Such is God's knowledge of time, which is one of his inventions, the way we have it. Long before it happened, he's teaching what happened, why it happened, where it happened, when it happened, that's in Daniel, and the wonder of it. And we will hope to share that this morning. First of all, we're moving from doom and gloom, catastrophe and trouble, anguish and upset in Israel, but typically of the world when it falls from Christ, as Israel was doing at that time. You see that in Isaiah 8, verse 20, just before our chapter 9, two or three verses before it, to the law and the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because. It is not hard to select the reason for the symptoms. It's not hard to trace what the medicos might call the etiology. Why? Because they have forsaken what God said to man for man's good, for the way to manage his manhood, or the womanhood, or the childhood. The handbook, throw it away. This and that and the other reason. Do some of it, if it fits, if it's convenient. Do the rest of it, well, nobody does that. To the law and the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, you know one thing. There is one reason. There is no light in them. A flickering candle can make a big difference, but this is worse. No light. If you set yourself up against the creator of the universe, the creator of man, the creator of our hearts, of our freedom, of our love, or ability to hate, if you do that, there is no light in you. Darkness has descended as in houses in the bushfire area where the house stands and the electricity doesn't. What else would you expect that this thing, this body, arrives like a beautiful sports car on your front lawn? You say, I don't suppose it's any handbook, and I suppose it just came, you know, blown in with the leaves, autumn leaf. It is hard to credit this except for the fact that God says that Christ is the light of the world, and you can't switch him off, and you can't switch off the necessity for his illumination for yourself. Just tear around in the car. Don't be thankful, don't care, don't listen to the handbook. Yes, you see that sometimes in some of the desert areas, apparently. Cars just left. They're conked out. They don't know what's wrong with them. Something or other. Oh, well. From doom and gloom to a great joy. Chapter 9 of Isaiah, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. There's going to be a difference this time. It's not going to be like mere doom and gloom. And afterwards more heavily oppressed her. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Where have they seen it? In Galilee. Which Galilee? The Galilee of the Gentiles. They've seen it in the place of commerce, the place of many fishermen, in this Galilee where Jesus went. This predicts, in other words, that Galilee is to be the site of the light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The change is absolute and entire. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, all these menaces, political, military, financial upsets of various kinds, the penalties of God for their refusal to abide, have seen a great light. What is all this? Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them, verse 2, try to follow it, a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. In the official Jewish original text, it's not increased its joy. I think the meaning is, you have multiplied the nation and haven't increased the joy of the nation which was not going to believe. But those who did believe, they got the joy. They rejoice before you. Those who are involved with this, according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, they're happy, they're glad, they're seized with almost ecstatic joy. Who believed? As Isaiah says in Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the word of the Lord revealed? As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. They're ecstatic with joy, they're thrilled. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Of course, the main breach is that of the sin, which sunders joy and leaves a wake of sadness, which takes forth the nourishment and the beauty of holiness and leaves it with the verminous substitute of uncared for food, food for the spirit of man. God is going to break what binds and eventually break it politically as well. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. The time will come when wars will cease, when the means of warfare will be but historic memories. Why? Let me tell you, verse 6, says the prophet. For, yes, what is this light? What is this peace? Where is it centered? Let me tell you, in the babe. What? You're telling me about some child that's born with all this? Yes, that's quite correct. For unto us a child is born. What sort of a child is this? Unto us a son is given. And the government, yes, it will come to that, will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called, yes. He has a name, yes. Wonderful. That name is used from events earlier in the Bible concerning the miraculous deeds of God. Things that startle you, evoke awe and wonder, miracles. Wonderful. Not limited by normal human difficulties, but nevertheless, coming down to earth, which is a very big difficulty in itself, incarnate. Counselor! If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Any Christian, that is. But let him ask in faith, for here's a promise. If you do not believe it, you will not get it. Right. This is action, like military command. This is do it, mean it, or don't bother. This is a matter of the heart. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Yes. God himself. Though he was in the form of God, he put that aside to take the form of man. Like a prince who puts that aside to fight as a private soldier. Still the same person. Still got the same powers, if he cares to use them. Everlasting Father. Father? A son is called a father? Yes. One of the disciples says to Christ, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Christ said, have I been so long with you? He that has seen me has seen the Father. We're talking of spiritual things. Christ is the exact representation of the Father. He is the precise image of the Father. He's like an impress that expresses itself on the thing where the impress is stamped. The exact image of his person. So, through him you have access to vision of and knowledge about the Father. The Father is not different. It's just like that. Prince of Peace. This babe will grow to be a prince of peace. He will not make the sort of mistake Stalin is reputed to have made. When he was referring to the Pope, of course, is an entirely different thing, absolutely unbiblical. Christ said, call no man on earth therefore your teacher, for one is your teacher, even Christ. There's no difficulty about confusing Christ and the Pope. But the Pope said, Stalin apparently said concerning the Pope, thinking of the Pope as another force, a military force. How many divisions does he have? You see the way some people think. The everlasting Father. He came from everlasting. In the beginning of the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Father's mode of expression. You can write a book, make a pout. You can express yourself in many ways. God expresses himself through his living word. And to humankind he gives his written word. And then he sent his living word as a babe. Incarnate. Of the increase, verse 7. Of his government and peace. There will be no end. Well, that's for me. Endless peace. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. To order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever. And I like this word. The zeal. Zeal, yes, you see zeal. You see it in some scientists, you know, they're just gripped by certain researchers and some authors and painters. Nearly everything passes away in a zeal to accomplish. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there you have exposed the great light in its first episode. From doom to gloom in one step. Light. The cause of the doom and gloom. To the law and the prophets going back. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light in them, and it doesn't only apply to them. Then it applies to this nation, to this world now. Same trouble, doom and gloom, coming from the same cause. We turn then to our second part Now, you'll notice that we have moved from the end of chapter 8 to the beginning of chapter 9. Let's do it with the next chapter. Let's move this time from the end of chapter 10. Just turn the page, find 10, and go to the end of 10. Verse 27, we'll start with in 10. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. God is speaking of a time when the enemies of Israel will have their yokes taken from the neck of Israel, when Israel will be delivered. It goes on in verses 28 to 34, which is the end of 10, to speak of what God is going to do to those who have been oppressing Israel ferociously. Oppressing! Oh! There's now, in the UN, it appears, some so-called prosecutor. I won't go into too much detail, it would take too long. But that prosecutor is measuring up and saying, I'm ready to judge Israel. We're going to get after Israel. What a country! It's a crime, according to the report, this prosecutor in the UN is saying. It's a crime for Israel to be where it is, to have a country. That is a crime. So the United Nations seems to be going off its head. How can it be a crime to be back where you were for a millennium? History equals naught. How can it be a crime to be back where people tried to obliterate you, seven nations, and didn't succeed, and you defended yourself and got the charity? Is everybody who wins a battle going to have a crime to be there? Well, all the nations had better repent then and go somewhere else. Then you'll have an endless transmission of persons. Crime to be there. We have to face the fact that it's all very simple. 1 + 1 = 2. God plus mankind equals 2. They are both there. It is useless to deny the facts. If you do, then it's 1 + 0 = 2. That doesn't remove God, but in the equation in men's minds it does. And you've still got to have 2 at the end, which is the cooperation between 2, God and man. If you turn one of the ones into 0, it doesn't make 2 anymore, and it doesn't work, nor could it. Verse 33, behold the Lord of hosts will up off the bow with terror, those of high stature will be hewn down. So what happens? That's where we're shown those oppressing Israel, when Israel itself has finished its discipline, they're being removed. Well, what's going to come? Oh, it does come. The second one does come. It does not go. Then shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse was King David's father. And when you see a reference to Jesse, it just means the household, the race, the group, the family, which was productive of King David. So a rod. So some child in this family unit is going to be like a rod, powerful, strong, capable of discipline. And a branch shall grow from his roots, meaning that in that Jesse family, of which David was one child, it's like a root which comes from that, a branch. The term branch is used in the Bible in this connection for Christ. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Hello? So this David is going to be the one through whose generations, father, son, grandson, and so on, will come the human part of Christ's incarnation, that is, through Mary, descendant of David. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Well, so this is what the babe grows into. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Yes, yes, yes. I used to look at sometimes at some of the figures in politics and so forth and think, well, there's a lot there, a lot of wisdom, a lot of thought there. I wish it were so easy today. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, it's all there in what started on earth as the babe, the blessed babe, the apparently vulnerable, the readily rubbed out babe. Prediction he followed, and the fulfillment we have seen in its first installment as he came as Savior. Next time, Lord and King. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, looks over all the elements of a case, discerns its background, its foregrounds, its dynamic, its mobility, everything. Sees it all. And might doesn't get brain weary. The Spirit of knowledge, well informed. Not a jot or a tittle of his law will fail. And the fear of the Lord. As a man, Christ has the fear of God. The fear of God is beautiful. If it's a real fear of a real son to the real father and not some silly substitute, the fear of God is like the fear of a beautifully crackling fire. It's warm, it's comforting, it's delightful. Its whole bearing and nature is a thrill and keeps you mightily, beautifully warm. But don't let the logs come onto the carpet. Don't have it where the place is going to set the house on fire. Watch it. It's a beautiful thing, but you've got to look. You've got to fear the Lord. It's just silly not to. And it's not a craven fear. It is a reverential trust with a delight in it. I love to fear God only, because that's where it belongs. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But the wrath of righteousness he shall judge the poor. He's not one of these high and mighty, colourful kings. He has lowered himself to manhood, and in manhood lowers himself to reach the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He won't be a convenient rod for the rich and the powerful to use to their glory. He shall decide with equity for the meek, the lowly. He shall strike the earth with his mouth, the rod of his mouth. When the earth transgresses, as it is brilliant in doing, which king is a Christian? Very few. Which country is Christian? Don't know of one. What does that mean? It means that when you go up the hill, in this car that landed on your front wall, my image for the human body, what happens? The water boils. I once knew of someone who had a car lent to her, and she said, I didn't know the automatic needed oil. No care. And so he shall strike the earth with the water. And what would you expect if you won't listen to reason or revelation? What do you expect? I heard that some doctors in this country are being very careful, very studious, very alert, very watchful in deciding which kid's gender to change. How nice that they take such thought in contradicting the DNA directions written in tremendous number to the cells of the kid's body, the nucleated cells. They say, no, it may say male, I say female, or something else. How dare they interfere with the DNA directives as if they should drown the voice of God inherent in the kid's body with their own suppressions of masculinity or femininity. So that as adolescence comes, it will be suppress the insertion of cylinders into the body or make them different. Put for those for a Volkswagen and a Cadillac and vice versa. How extraordinary. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. What can you expect? Well, bushfires, of course, must not be just presented as something to do with a particular case. It may be a test, it may be a trial, it may be anything. Nevertheless, in general, throughout the earth, whether it be floods or whether it be bushfires or whether it be diseases or whether it be ants, affliction follows asking for it. It's the world that's asking for it. And sometimes those who are in dangerous places because of the love of Christ suffer it. And the world is getting it, and it doesn't work. Zealously they're trying to solve problems. Israel can't even get its two bits together. The people who say there must be a religious state are right. God's made it that way. But they've got the wrong religion. They have rejected Christ. And the people who want it to be a secular state are also wrong. It was made by God for religious reasons, but they have rejected Christ, and turning secular doesn't solve the problem, so they're stymied. In the United States, you've got different degrees of things that people want because they've rejected the Prince of Peace. As a nation, they have done so, not as all the individuals. And so we turn from chapter 11 and the marvelous things to what's made the difference. What's made the difference? All through the Blessed Babe, we have turned, those of us who receive it, from all those things to all the things of the babe. Grown up, Christ once said to the disciples, foolish ones and slow of heart, not to realize that Christ first suffers and only then does the glory come. There are two phases. Christ is Savior, Christ is Lord. Christ is babe, Christ is king. Terribly simple. All in the Bible, over and over. The babe made the difference. God used vulnerability to show victory. Great. Shows complete control. Since the death date was predicted, nothing could go wrong. God had to know right up there, not a thing left out. That's where it's good to be studious. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Look at 9:7, chapter 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, that's to come. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There are no conditions for his coming. By that I mean this. He didn't say, I will only come to earth if you do this. No, it was unconditional. I will come. You see that in Psalm 40. A body thou hast prepared for me. If you look at Psalm 40 just for a moment. Sacrifice, verse 6, and offering you did not desire. All right? All the sacrifices are going to become past. They're going to be replaced with the sacrifice of what the babe grew into, a man that they could kill. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. There is the expression before our time, way back, Christ showing his willingness to come incarnate as a man. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. So, he's going to come anyway. Delighted to do it. Why, how could you do that? Nothing, old man. Delighted to do it. You hear this sort of conversation. Christ came unconditional. You don't have to be good to get him to come. He comes anyway. No revisions. The only revision was the crucifixion. And that was planned and intended. And the resurrection dealt with that. That's it. No options. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. No end. Haven't we just been reading in 9:7? Let's do it again. Of the increase in his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. No failure. The one and one equals two mathematical situation I described to you is the world's failure, but there's no failure with God. God's still there, man's still there, and the option is still there. Has been for a couple of thousand years. There's utter relief available. Turn to chapter 11 of Isaiah. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Remember, this is chapter 11, verse 10. There shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. So, this David, this king, this babe that grew, is going to be a universal banner. Something to which to seek. Now, for the Gentiles shall seek him through the Jew to you, incarnation. The Gentiles shall seek him and his resting place shall be glorious. Sometimes you go into the surf on a beautiful summer's day. Oh, the waves, the bubbles, surfing, glorious! And you bubble with delight. But this is rest. Away from anxiety and tremors and tremblings and truculence and all the rest of it. And complaints and renegacy. The rest. The sin covered. The soul converted. And his resting place shall be glorious. Utter relief. Turn to 9, chapter verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. Turn to 51:11. So the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall attain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That was for the Jews, but it's the same God. It says it's too little a thing for this babe that grows to win those to be one in Israel. He shall also be a light to the Gentiles. Same joy. Same light, same gospel. Utter relief, unquenchable joy. And it's all unbounded and unlimited. We'll finish with Isaiah 49. Listen, O cursed lands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant and Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength on nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work is with the Lord. And so now the Lord said, it's too small a thing for you to gather the elect from Israel. You'll take them from the whole world. It appeared, my God, why have you forsaken me? That he had failed, but that was the pang of success in bearing sin. Closing the book on it and granting eternal life. The blessed babe, I mean, our Father, we thank thee. The blessing and honor and glory are for the Lord. The Lord's Christ, there is no other. The babe that made all the difference. In Jesus' name, amen.